Hey, party people, you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. The boys are on vacation this week, so it's the best of Kevin and Bean. However, I'm still doing the live showbiz beats, and this is where I would be doing a showbiz beat. But instead, I'm going to have a very special interview with my friend, my sometimes boss. He, of course, is the creator of Family Guy, which I do some voices on. He is the writer-director of the new film, Ted, that opens up this weekend. He gave me a little role in that, too. That was nice of him. Let's say hello to my buddy, Seth MacFarlane. Good morning, Seth. How you feeling?
I'm doing good, Ralph. How are you?
Good. The day is finally here, sir. Ted in theaters everywhere as of today. How does that feel?
It feels pretty swell. It's been a long, arduous journey.
How long has it been Ted's been in the works? Yeah. How long has you had the idea?
You know, the idea was actually an animated series idea that I had a number of years ago, and I put it on hold for a number of reasons. But the movie incarnation of it, it's about 4 years old. We wrote the first draft of the script about 4 years ago, and it took a while to get it off the ground because, you know, R-rated comedies tend to not be all that costly because you're the whole portion of your audience that isn't allowed to see the film.
Right.
So, you know, we had to find a studio that was just irresponsible enough to spend money on an R-rated comedy with a special effect in every other shot. And, you know, thanks to Universal for being so irresponsible. They took a risk, and it looks like it may pay off for them.
Is directing something you always wanted to do, or did you find yourself wanting to direct just so you could protect your script?
It's a little of both. I do like to have control over the things that I write. I do like to make sure that the jokes are executed properly. But I just like the process. I love the process of animation, and I had a hunch that I'd probably love the process of filmmaking just as much, and I did. It was a blast.
The hour's a little different, though, huh?
The hours are slightly different. Yeah, the 12-hour days were definitely new. But, you know, you're so in it that it didn't really... I was sure that was going to be the part that would do me in. I was going to be like, you know, how the hell am I ever going to get up at 5 a.m.? I haven't gotten up at 5 a.m. in years. And I kind of slipped into it and kind of worked out.
I was lucky enough to be in, I guess, the table read, I guess, is where I started with the project.
Yes.
And I noticed as I looked around that table versus when I saw the movie this week that the cast is almost intact from when we first read the script to what ended up on the screen. Did you write with Wahlberg in mind and Mila and Giovanni Ribisi and all these guys?
You know, we didn't have any particular people in mind. The script was written far enough back that we weren't really locked into anybody in particular, but... You know, one of the nice things about Hollywood, as you know, is that the way the process works is, you know, you have somebody like Giovanni Ribisi who will come in and give his time and do our table read as a favor, and you assume a guy like that is going to knock it out of the park, and he did,
yeah.
And you just say, all right, it's you, man, you're in the movie. So it's this kind of, there's a lot of generosity of time, and, you know, Giovanni was a guy who really is a perfect example of an actor taking a part that is just, he made it 10 times what it was on the page. I mean, he's just an extraordinary guy. It's an extraordinary cast, and you and Alex Borstein play young Wahlberg's parents.
Yes, we do.
That was the day of that nasty lightning storm.
And the tornado that was going to kill us all.
Right.
Yeah, I noticed immediately when the tornado was coming to the set, they put all the equipment safely in the basement and then quickly put Alex and I in a van on the open road to take us back to the hotel.
I've never seen anything like that. I was on the phone with Wellesley Wild, one of my co-writers, and we were panicked and saying, all right, Thunder Buddies for life, for real this time, Thunder Buddies for life. I mean, it was the city of Boston was struck by lightning something like 400 times in 15 minutes.
It looked biblical.
I've never seen anything like
that.
It
storm,
was a flash of lightning every few seconds.
That storm rolled in, it looked biblical, it looked like the end times.
It was. I said something has gone horribly wrong with the merging of cold and warm air.
Hey, you know, I've been reading a lot of the reviews. Did you expect this kind of critical reaction to the film? I mean, I knew
no.
It was going to be funny, but the critics
that's
are just...
That's been the biggest surprise. I'm so used to Family Guy being just maligned by critics, you know, many of whom come to me privately and say, hey, you know, I thought it was funny. And I'm like, well, why can't you write that? You think it's funny? Why you gotta, what are you protecting? That you know, like, what, you think nobody's going to like anymore if you laugh at a fart joke? Come on. But this was, I was really pleasantly, and you know, not that that's why we do it, you do it for the audience, but it is nice when you read good things about what you've done. And yeah, I've been very surprised at how positive the reviews have been.
Well, the movie is hilarious. I mean, it's hard for me to say that, I guess, without sounding completely biased, because I am in it and you're a buddy, and everybody from Family Guy shows up in the film. It's just a great class reunion to see everybody in the thing. But it's hilarious, and it's people are loving it, and I think it's going to be a huge hit this weekend. And just congratulations, Seth, on everything.
Oh, thanks, Ralph. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy. I'll see you around campus.
All right, cool.
Hey, party people. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock.
Kevin Smith has joined us in the studio.
Ladies and gentlemen. Hey, everybody.
How are you, man?
I like when you get to the point where they don't play the intro for you anymore.
Well, we don't have time.
My bad.
Because certain people were supposed to be here 15 minutes ago.
I know we're here to talk about the book and all the amazing things that I've accomplished. Yes. But I would like to talk about, today is an important anniversary in my life.
It is?
Yes.
Why?
14 years ago today, first time I was porked by my wife.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, I told Bean, this is my advice to Bean. I came in and I said, did you buy Kevin Smith's book yet? And he said, no, but I'm planning on it. I said, don't skip the first chapter. If you skip the first chapter, it's the most interesting book in the world.
That chapter is right up front because it really separates the wheat from the chaff.
Here's a little bit of the first chapter.
Whenever someone tells me I'm fat, I tell them I wasn't always. Apparently, at one point in my life, I was fit enough to outswim a legion of sperm. And now, like any past their prime athlete, I'm enjoying a good life. I hoisted my cup already, so at this point, f*** off and let me enjoy bacon and brownies. Maybe even together.
All right, now that is the calmest part of chapter one. And
now that there's an audiobook, you don't even need me here. You can just ask me stuff that's in the book, and I could give you long responses.
Then you just edit together words.
I went there, and it was a good thing to have that.
It'll be like, they're like, hey, Mr. Jaws, what do you think about this?
Dickie Goodman will come in.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Then Kevin Smith gets into his talking about his dad's private
sack.
Sack.
Scrote.
Nobody needs that. Nobody needs scrote talk.
It's important. I thought it was important to honor my dad, my origin point, and that part of my dad that never got heralded.
But let me explain something to you. Fire. We all understand that's how it works, and it's true of all of us.
We're all adults in this room. So I'm reaching out to the kids. I'm talking to the 8-9-year-olds who still haven't figured out the mystery of the universe
yet. Here's a little bit of Kevin Smith in chapter one.
Some might have considered Don Smith's mere mute witnesses and my father's war against his but not Grace Schultz. My mom saw the potential in my dad. She didn't see her unborn children in his eyes. She saw them outlined in the nooks and crannies of his.
So you got that going.
You make it sound way dirtier than it is.
No, I didn't.
That sounds like that count clip on YouTube where he's like counting, but they bleep it, so it sounds like he says F.
No, we had to bleep every single word.
The B word gets bleeped. B A.
If it's in this context,
hockey sticks. S.
We're not supposed to talk about great detail about the reproductive organs.
Right,
of
in great detail.
Well, that's why you got to go out and get Tough Smith, as we call it on the radio, because we can't use its real name.
So I got through the first chapter, and it was very uncomfortable. I was not happy listening to his stories about his dad's unit and his mom's mouth. So, if I could just say that,
it was an oral story. So,
but then I got to chapter two, and from then on, fascinating as hell.
It's a ride, isn't
it? You want to know what it's like for him to have made Clerks, and at the time, you know, the Weinstein Company, and the whole thing with Bruce Willis is in there, all these details about working with Bruce Willis. It's fascinating.
Thank you.
Can you give a much shortened version of working with Bruce Willis? Because now you put it in the book, it's out there. The scene where you were talking about him getting out of the car.
It was a little tough.
It blew me away.
It came down to everyone I've ever worked with, I was thinking about it yesterday. I was like, go walking with the dog. And, you know, a lot of people are asking about it. And I was thinking, it comes down to this. Everyone I've ever worked with really wanted to be there. And I certainly don't mean this to besmirch him and his career and what level of commitment he puts into performance. This is just opinion, my opinion.
Right.
And I don't know how else to say it, but, like, nobody's ever cashed a check on my watch. And that hurts so much. Everyone I've always worked with, and granted, some people out there going, hurt, buddy, my wife's got cancer. Oh, granted, it's relative.
Right? Well, of course.
Right. But for an artist, for somebody who prides himself on, like, let's get together and do something cool, something nobody's ever done before. And I've had people come in and drop salary. John Goodman came in for peanuts on Red State. Everyone I've ever worked with wanted to be there.
Right.
Nobody ever cashed a check on my watch, and one got through. And worse than that, it was the one that I wanted to work with. The one that I took an 84% pay cut to work with, because I was like, oh, man, this is the dude who made fame, success, artistry seem fun. Like when I was a kid, you'd watch Moonlighting, you'd watch him in those commercials. You're like, man, this dude just loves it. He loves this job. He loves his life.
Right.
And then you work with him and wow.
Tell the story.
That was then. In the book, he talks about.
Tell the story about him getting out of the car and running across the street because Tracy Morgan got shot.
This was weird. There's a scene in the movie. And again, I'm not sitting here going, I blame Bruce for the movie. If you don't like the movie, you don't like the movie, whatever. But it just wasn't as easy as it could have or should have been.
It's an example of what the hell.
We're shooting a sequence. Get out. It's very simple. Tracy's in the telephone suit. He gets, somebody starts shooting. I don't want to spoil the movie. It did come out a little while ago.
Right.
If you haven't seen it. So Tracy goes down. Bruce is like, in a car, his character rather, is in a car playing kind of, binocular guy. They're just doing a stakeout. When the gunshots go off, in your mind, the partner, because we've seen them talking, they enjoy one another, rockets out of that car. He's
panics.
Sitting in a car. It was his choice to sit in a car.
Right.
So you imagine you're going to see all right, man, this dude's going to rocket out of the car and he's going to hold his gun to his side like we've seen in every movie he's in. And run over there and do the right thing, blah, blah, blah. Active. People are running, glass shattering. It's supposed to be an action movie. So, action. Opens the car door as if, hey, man, I think I see a dollar on the street. And then closes it and then waltzes across the street while taking out his gun. Just like whatever. If that's your choice, if that's your first take, we all need to ramp up. I don't come to my job and go right to work.
Smoke
a joint if I want to.
So that was a warm-up.
You got to imagine.
Right.
But I talked to him, between takes. I was like, that was cool, boss, but can we do it again? Essentially, with as much admiration and respect as I could, once more with feeling, please.
Yeah. You're going to need to
hurry. We go back behind the monitor and stuff, and he's leaning on the car. And so we're waiting for him to get into the car so we can do it again. And he's just leaning there, and then everyone on set is waiting because somebody's supposed to do something. But I'm like, I don't want to go over and tell him, get back in the car, because I assume he knows. Maybe he's just hanging out, stretching, whatever.
Right.
Still standing there. So Pitt was the AD. I was like, Michael, go
get your
do something. Yeah, yeah, you are the AD. Go A, because I'm terrible at the D. I need big A right here. So he went over, and he comes back. He goes, I think you need to talk to him. And I went over, and I was like, hey, man, ready to go again? And he was like, yeah, let's go. Been waiting. And I was like, yeah, but we need you to get back in the car so we can do the whole thing again. Car door opens, you run out, run, being the keyword,
right.
Across the street this time.
Your partner's been shot, you're concerned.
Yeah, and he goes, you want me to get out of the car as well? And I was like, yeah. He's like, all right, so I got to get back in the car.
He said I already did that.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, I already did that part.
Oh, dude.
It was, and to me, I was like, all right, maybe punked is happening, because I know there was an Ashton Kutcher connection at one point.
Right.
But if it was punked, they never aired the episode. Nobody ever told me. There was never a surprise.
The book is called Tough-ish, Shall We Say, Life Advice from a Fat, Lazy Slob Who Did Good, and it is available everywhere in all sorts of formats from author Kevin Smith.
Adam Carolla in minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show, then Butch and Shirley from the band Garbage. So last night, Kevin, you and the King of Mexico went to see the Avengers.
Just a little date.
Aw, how
sweet.
Did he text her in the movie?
He did not, but he tried the popcorn trick several times, and I said, I know that one. Stop it.
Now, I am curious to hear what you thought about the Avengers, because Ralph was obviously in the bag. I mean, they could have filmed Captain America taking a poop for 2 hours, and he would have loved it, because he's a big comic book geek. But what about a guy like you who really, you've seen the Iron Man movies and whatnot, but it's not like you're in love with the Avengers since you're a little kid. What
right.
did you make of it?
You know what was great about the original Iron Man was that it was sci-fi. But it had a great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
It really played well. The laughs were true and funny. And,
yeah.
And it wasn't forced. They weren't trying to be funny, but it was still really an action movie. That's how this one was. It was great.
Oh, that's
really?
Great.
It was a 10 out of 10 for me.
Wow. And with so many lead characters, though. I mean, you've got your Thor and your Black Widow and your Hawkeye.
They all have their time.
And that's amazing
yes.
that they could juggle that many characters
Joss
in one
Whedon
movie.
Joss Whedon is a genius.
Yeah, he is indeed. Well, we got a little bit of a surprise for you because we have the actual Bruce Banner on the phone with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, Dr.
Right
Banner.
Now. Of course, Mark Ruffalo plays him in the movie. Hey, Dr. Banner, how are you?
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're very good.
This is a big thrill then to see the Avengers movie that some people thought would never be made finally getting ready to open up this week, huh?
Yeah, it's very exciting for all of us. We're all really looking forward to the weekend and hopefully people will go and they'll enjoy it.
What?
Are there big expectations for the numbers of people that'll go?
Oh yeah, they're expecting to make over $150 million this weekend.
Wow!
If they don't make that, everyone's going to be very disappointed.
And then what happens?
Well, you know, people are going to get upset and they get angry. And
right.
You know, it's nothing you can do about it. Right?
I'm saying,
why are you putting the pressure on me?
We didn't want this.
Hulk make movie.
Right.
You go to movie or Hulk smash.
Yeah, Hulk is in the movie. There's lots of Hulk in the movie.
Hulk in movie.
Yeah, and Hulk smashes a lot.
Hulk smash.
Hulk funny.
Hulk went to smash Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, we all want to smash her.
Smash pelvis. With giant Hulk pant filler.
I think we all sort of know what you mean.
I don't think you understand.
I think we're pretty clear on
Hulk
that.
It's straining at Hulk's pants to get out.
Okay, but
Hulk wants to give Scarlett Johansson little Hulk.
Okay, that's not what this movie is about, though. It's
it
not
should
about
be what movie about. Well, that's why Hulk's so angry.
Is that it? He can't
they
have
don't
her?
Let Hulk bang Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, there's no romance really between her and anyone.
Only get to bang Jeremy Renner.
No. I'm sorry, what?
Jeremy Renner, he's got a nice pooper.
I don't think that made it in the movie. That must have been in the deleted scenes.
Oh, maybe that was just trailer with Hulk.
I didn't see that in the movie.
Welcome to Avengers, new guy.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock at 6:48 on a Friday morning. Happy Friday, everybody. The weekend is almost here. It's already started for Kevin and Bean. They're on vacation, so we're playing the best of this week. But I am here in the studio giving you the showbiz beat, along with my friends Chip and Omar, who are keeping me company. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. And coming up in just a little while later today, I will be doing an interview with Seth MacFarlane, the creator, of course, not only a Family Guy, but he's got a new film in theaters this weekend called Ted that he wrote and directed.
Haven't much heard of it.
And it's a great film, and you should go see it. Especially the first 5 minutes of it. And then you can do whatever you want after that. Just buy your ticket and see the first 5 minutes. While we're talking about me, tomorrow night at the John Lovitz Comedy Club and Podcast Theater up at Universal City Walk, it is Hollywood Babylon, the way it's supposed to be done. It's the return of me and Kevin Smith as hosts. Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., you can go to thelovitz.com if you want to see Smith and I talking about showbiz and making fun of people, and me being very drunk and Smith being very stoned. And we do about 2 hours of just S talking about people who have better careers than we do. It's a lot of fun.
If you guys can't believe that, you know, Ralph is super funny when he's sober. He is 100 times funnier when he's drunk.
Well, that's very kind and yet insulting at the same time, quite frankly. So I resent that. But come out and see us. We have a good time, and I think you will, too. All right, let's take a look at the showbiz news. This 50 Shades of Grey, this book, is just out of control. First of all, the woman who wrote it, this E.L. James, according to the UK's Daily Mail newspaper, she is pulling in over $1 million per week, thanks to the film and the movie deal rights and the merchandising rights. In terms of everything surrounding this book that she wrote, this trilogy of books, she's pulling in over $1 million a week. Here is what happened this week regarding 50 Shades of Grey. It has become the fastest adult paperback novel to sell 1 million print copies. 1 million paperback copies sold as of this week. The previous record holder was The Da Vinci Code. And you know what a smash hit that book was? Mm-hmm. It took Dan Brown, who wrote The Da Vinci Code, 36 weeks to sell a million paperbacks. It took 50 Shades of Grey only 11 weeks to hit that same number.
Oh, this is juicy.
It is juicy, Bean. By the way, the record for paperback sales, she is just short of 400,000 copies in 1 week, beating the previous record holder, J.K. Rowling, for the Harry Potter books. That's how well this book is selling. Amazon has said that 50 Shades of Grey, the Kindle edition, is the first ebook ever to sell 1 million copies for Kindle. So that's why this broad is pulling in over $1 million a week in money from this
book. Do you think it's got to be because it's not straight up porn, but it is. Do you know what I mean?
It's very close.
So that's got to be it.
It is porn packaged for housewives who can take vacations from their bratty children and their obnoxious fat slob of a husband, and they can have fantasies about having good sex with attractive people. You know what it is? It's the Magic Mike phenomenon.
It is. Magic Mike!
I know Omar and then all other women are excited about this film. But the Fandango, the website that sells tickets before
you can buy them at the movie theaters. They always keep track of this kind of stuff where they will poll the people who are buying tickets in advance and ask them questions about this movie. And if you go to Fandango and look at the poll for this film, it's like 87% are women who say they're going to get together with their girlfriends beforehand to have dinner first.
Have some wine.
They're going to make an event out of right. going to watch Matthew McConaughey and Channing Tatum take their clothes off. So there is a desperate, desperate crowd of unfulfilled women out there who are looking for sexual adventures anywhere they can find them. And I think in this kind of book and this kind of movie, it sort of it makes it palatable and sort of acceptable so they don't have to go to like a porn store or go to a real strip club or something.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So there's a lot of money in sexually frustrated women. And I think it's time we started cashing in on it.
Yeah.
Alec Baldwin, he's servicing his own sexually frustrated woman. Her name is Hilaria Thomas. They're getting married this weekend. But
you are a rude, thoughtless little pig.
Yeah, those are his vows. He wrote them himself for the ceremony. Here's the thing. There's no invitations. Alec and Hilaria are going to text all the information to their closest friends and family members the day of the event.
What?
Yeah. In order to keep the information out of the hands of the press and paparazzi, they're going to text everyone. They're telling everyone, hold on to your cell phones, because we're going to text you where to go and where at what time, and that's where the wedding will be
held.
What
if people are busy that day?
Then you don't go.
Wow.
They told them the day. They said, keep this day open, but all the plans, other plans, will be text to the closest friends and family.
Is it that hard in Hollywood to keep a secret?
Apparently it is.
Damn.
I think you create more frenzy, though, when you pull a stunt like this.
Yeah.
It makes it more of a challenge for
now
people.
Now you got TMZ with all their spies out there, you know, looking
they
want to
find
Alec
out
Baldwin
and they want to ruin your day.
Wow.
Alec Baldwin brother, Stephen Baldwin, said he still doesn't know the plan, but he is keeping his lips firmly shut when he does find out, he said, because Alec can still kick my butt. So I guess that's a good reason why
and
not.
And the other Baldwin brother's probably not invited, right?
Well, Stephen's the crazy one.
Oh, is Stephen the crazy one?
Yeah, he's the crazy religious one. Billy is the good-looking youngest one, so I'm sure he'll be there. And then there's another one, too, the drug-addicted one, who's always in trouble with the
law. He's the one I like.
Yeah, I know you do. William Shatner. Oh, Captain Kirk. He had a rough day, or a rough week, rather.
What happened?
He was at LAX getting on a long flight to South Africa. And according to Bill Shatner, he was wearing especially loose clothing because it was going to be a long sort of arduous flight. He wanted to be very comfortable. Well, he got pulled out of line by the TSA for a pat down, and apparently his pants fell down while they were searching him. Yeah.
Oh, Dick.
William Bill. William Shatner said it was simply awful to have people staring at him as his pants fell down around his ankles. And I guess it was they went where no man has gone before, really.
Yeah.
That they saw.
That's right.
I saw Captain Kirk traveling to Uranus.
Don't do that to Bill.
Don't. It's Captain Kirk. Yeah. You know he's not packing a bomb. Leave Captain Kirk alone. And Lacey Schwimmer, one of the Dancing with the Stars pros.
Good job, Mike.
She had a scary incident this week. She went to her dressing room at the Tropicana Hotel in Vegas this week, according to In Touch magazine, and she heard the shower running. A few seconds later, a naked man walked out of the shower towards her. This is her dressing room, mind you. She did not know who the guy was. She hightailed it out of there and refuses to go back to that room until they said she's demanding a new dressing room because she's afraid that guy knows how to get into that one.
Wow.
No word on what Psycho Mike was doing in her shower, but that's got to be scary when you see a strange naked man come out of your shower.
Fatty.
It's even worse if it's William Shatner with his pants down around his ankles. And congratulations to CeeLo Green while we're talking about judges on reality shows.
Did he get new arms?
He did not get new arms, but he got a new role. He has been cast in an upcoming movie musical called Can a Song Save Your Life? Daily Variety said the musical will star Keira Knightley, Mark Ruffalo, Haley Steinfeld, who is the little girl in True Grit, Adam Levine from, of course, Maroon 5, Catherine Keener, begins filming in New York City next week. CeeLo Green will be playing a very successful hip-hop star. His rapper name is Troublegum. He's Troublegum, the rapper. Troublegum.
Troublegum. Yeah, good luck with that.
I would not buy a record from a rapper named Troublegum.
Yeah, no.
And let's talk about real rappers. Snoop Dogg, poor Snoop, got busted in Norway this week. Tried to get into the country with a large amount of cash and, as you can imagine, an equally large amount of weed.
Yeah.
Doesn't he know a guy like that? who smokes as much as he does and travels as much as he does, doesn't he realize you cannot fly, especially internationally, with weed?
Or or you have, you know, a buddy, you know, keister it for you or something.
Let
you
him don't take the fall.
Exactly.
But can't you get weed anywhere?
Yes.
If you fly
to
Norway and you land in Norway, if you're Snoop, you can find somebody to get you weed, right?
If Snoop has his favorite weed,
I suppose.
Because I'm assuming like 90% of the weed out there doesn't get him stoned anymore.
He's a connoisseur,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Marijuana's bad. Okay.
Snoop Dogg was brought down by sniffer dogs. How ironic. The dog father stopped by dogs. You're only allowed to bring in so much money into Norway and no weed into Norway, so he got into a bit of trouble. However, Norwegians are fairly forgiving people. Apparently, he just had to pay a fine of $8,600, and then they let him go.
I'm sure that's no big deal for Snoop.
No, that's pocket change.
Yeah.
He had a gig last night at the musical festival in the small town of Kristiansand in Norway. And apparently, I wonder if they let him keep the weed. I wonder if you had to pay the fine, you get to keep the weed.
That'd be sweet, yeah.
That would suck if you had to pay the fine and give up your weed. All right, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Gary Busey. Oh, the Buse.
So awesome.
How we love him. Remember when he came in?
He was the best.
He was the best.
He is so intense, though.
Yeah.
He's very intense.
Very intense
guy.
And very scary funny.
Yeah. Very scary funny.
And sometimes funny scary, depending on what's happening.
I had recorded an ID from him. I was kind of, he went on for about 15 minutes, like, improvising all the stuff, and he wanted to improve upon each ID. It kept getting funnier,
He's
so I kept
rolling. He's a very creative guy.
But it was scary the whole 15 minutes he was in there. You know, I didn't know whether to laugh or, you know, what he was going to do.
You do get the sense he could spin out at any moment.
Absolutely.
On a dime and just kill you.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Gary Busey. You're 68 years old today. Comedian Richard Lewis is 65 years old today. Oh, I wish Psycho Mike was still here because singer Don Dokken of the band Dokken is 59 years old today. You know how Psycho Mike loves the Dokken.
Yep.
Colin Hay, the singer of Men at Work, is 59 years old today. Maria Conchita Alonso celebrates her 55th birthday. Guitarist Greg Heston of Bad Religion is 51. Woo! DJ Shadow is 40 years old. Brett McKenzie of Flight of the Conchords fame turns 36. He's an Oscar winner, too, for the Muppets. Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls is 34 years old. And you can tell Dave the King of Mexico made up this list for me because it says actor and dancer Adam Savani from Step Up to the Streets and Step Up 3D is 20 years old today. So that's the last time I'm going to mention his birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. Here's a story we talked about yesterday. Now we want to hear when it has happened to you. And we're talking about butt dialing, ladies and gentlemen. That seems to be the term when your phone accidentally calls someone. You're not intending to dial anyone's number, but you hit a number. Usually it's something you've got saved in your phone. And you call them up, and it's not on purpose, and sometimes it gets you in a lot of trouble.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
And tight pants. And then all of a sudden somebody's listening to your entire conversation.
Exactly. Doesn't necessarily mean that your phone has to be in your back pocket. It can be in your front pocket. It can be in your purse. If you're a lady, it can be anywhere, but you accidentally dial. You roll over on it in bed, for instance. Maybe that's what happened.
My wife purse dialed me, I don't know how, probably 25 times within 3 to 4 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I finally just turned off my phone. She had no idea. First, of course, you're listening. What's she saying about me?
I
wonder if she's having sex with somebody else. What's happening?
And then you can't hear anything, so then you get frustrated. You hang up, and it's just like, she doesn't have any idea. This could go on all day.
Well, here's why it's back in the news. Michael Gorno is his name. He is a man in Connecticut who was trying to steal metal from a local business. His phone accidentally dialed. It was in his pants. He was crawling under a chain link fence to get into the yard where he was going to steal 700 pounds of scrap metal. Well, when the 911 happens to be the number that's dialed on his phone, and by the way, as we asked yesterday, who puts 911 in a speed dial?
Yeah, because it's only two more button pushes.
Yeah,
it's a speed dial you can press once.
Outside of calling the operator, it's the shortest phone number you can dial, right?
Yeah.
So his phone calls 911. Of course, he doesn't intentionally dial. He's, you know, crawling around in the dirt, so he doesn't know he's made this call. And, of course, on the other end, they go, uh-oh, this sounds like a distress call. Somebody's in danger. We better send the police out. So they use the GPS to find his cell phone. And sure enough, as he is loading up his truck with all this scrap metal, the police arrive and go, somebody called 911?
And he's like, what? I didn't. What are you talking about? Who?
Oh, that's the best. How much must he have hated himself when he found out it was him?
Sir, the phone was coming from your butt.
So he probably would have gotten away with it if it had not been from his phone. He's been charged with trespassing and larceny. He's out on a $5,000 bond and is scheduled to appear in court next week. So we're looking for butt-dialing stories. Has it happened to you? 1-800-520-1067. You want to take Sam real quick before the break?
Yeah, let's start with Sam. Hey, Sam.
Hi.
Hi there. Ooh, Sam's a female. All right, tell us about your butt dialing.
I was 17 at my cousin's bachelorette party, and my cousins are pretty crazy, so they got me really drunk, and I accidentally butt dialed my uncle as I was puking all night.
Oh, that was fun for everyone.
I'll bet your uncle loved that.
He played it for my entire family.
Yes! I love your uncle.
You had some splaining to do that night, didn't you?
Yeah, my mom knew my family was crazy, though, and that I was safe, so she just laughed.
17. That's so funny, though, because I imagine that he got the whole family around. All right, everybody, I got something to share with you. And then your face just went red. I love it.
Thank you for calling, Sam. Thank you for listening. 1-800-520-1067. That's our toll-free number. You can either dial us or have your butt do it. We'll talk to you next on the Kevin and Bean. Talking about when your phone has a mind of its own, it butt dials someone you don't intend to, like this caller, emailer, I should say, called in sick to work, went to a Dodger game. My phone called my boss, and he heard me drunk yelling, "Go Dodgers!"
Oh, no.
It was not a good day when I returned. I had no idea that I had called him, so I ended up lying and saying that I had been really sick with the flu. Well, I now have a new job and a keypad lock on my phone. So that's what can happen with butt dialing.
Man.
We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Oh, did we lose Max? Is he gone?
He's gone.
Let's try Liz. Max, please call back. We want to talk to you on the air, dude. Let's talk to Liz now. She's on line 6 joining us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Liz. Thanks for hanging on. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
What did your butt dial and what was someone listening to? Okay.
So my 17-year-old, I was 17. My husband now was 18. And we were having sex. And we actually called his mother. And his mother stayed on the phone for 30 minutes trying to figure out what was going on.
What?
He was supposed to be on his way to college. So she thought that he was just hanging out at my house. And we were freaking out. We were like, oh, my God, did we leave a message? Did she figure it out? We're in so much trouble. Turns out she spoke to her husband. She put him on the line, too. And they thought he was just at my house hanging out.
What the hell kind of sex are you having?
They had, and you know, the funny thing is that day we were having intense, and she did not realize it.
Wow.
So you are great. So lucky.
You are lucky. That's so funny because we were having sex. I mean.
that's among the worst things that can happen when your phone decides to dial somebody, I guess. Unless you're having sex with somebody else and your spouse is listening, that would even be worse.
Speaking of calling parents, let's talk to Sean. Hi, Sean.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Good, thanks. You're butt-dialed who?
I butt-dialed my mother when I was scoring marijuana from a dealer.
You're getting weed, and your mom was listening.
Yeah, actually, it went to her voicemail. So,
When
she listened to her message, she had a pleasant surprise, and she decided to play it for my wife.
So she played it for your wife, and it went,
does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
Oh, yeah, they got everything. They got me taking bong hits and all that.
That's it.
You're a dumbass.
Yeah.
Thank you for the call. Andrew writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, my dad butt-dialed my stepmom while on a roller coaster. She answered, heard my dad screaming for his life and thought he was being brutally murdered or something.
Oh.
Scared the hell out of her. Only afterwards did she realize it was a roller coaster.
Sweet.
That's hilarious timing. It's so funny how many times the butt-dialing happens at the exact wrong second. Like, it doesn't just butt-dial when you're walking down the street doing nothing. It only does it when you're doing something crazy.
Speaking of which, let's talk to Christine. Hi, Christine.
Hello.
Your butt dialed who and during what?
It wasn't me, actually. I was waiting for my husband to get home from a coworker's birthday party, and I got a phone call, and I heard a lot of rustling around, and I thought, oh, my gosh, he's in a car accident, and I kept saying his name, and then I heard another woman saying his name, and I was like,
so
freaked out, and that was the beginning of the end of our marriage.
I would say that was the beginning, middle, and end of your marriage, probably. So you heard him having sex with another woman while he was supposed to be at a coworker's party.
Yeah, I heard her saying his name, although he denied it was sex. but it sure did not sound that way.
Did it sound like she was having more fun than you ever had with him? You're like, hey, if you can perform like that for her.
Yeah,
thank you very much for the call, Christine. We appreciate it. Let's take Robert. Robert is on line 4, joining us on the Kevin Meet Show. Hey, Robert, what's going on?
Hang on, we got to wait for them to put Robert on hold.
What's happening?
They're not putting. There we go. All right. Hey, Robert.
Hey.
What happened?
Good morning. I install cable, and I have a cheap phone that they give us for work.
Right.
And I'm always, whether it's crawling underneath the house, if a lot of buttons get pressed, it dials 911.
Oh,
and
sweet.
So it happens about 10 times to me, and what they usually do is call you back, make sure you're all right, but I always don't answer my phone.
Ah, then so, they have to send somebody out by law, don't
so
they?
So they have to. And so the customer freaks out when cops show up at their house. And yeah, like, we got an emergency call, and no one knows it's me because I'm in an attic. And so
do you hide? Do you hide and not say anything? That'd be awesome. All right. Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to a 911 operator. How about that?
I bet this happens all the time, right?
Mark.
Yes.
You're a 911 operator.
I was a 911 operator for a number of years in Ohio.
All right. What's the deal? 911 gets called even if a phone is locked, right? Like, that's the only number they can dial, even if your phone is, like, closed down, right?
Not only if it's closed or locked, but also if it's disconnected, like if there's no service to the phone and it has a charge to it, you can still dial 911.
Really? Wow. You must have gotten a lot of these.
Yeah. We used to joke about if we had a nickel for each one we got, we'd probably be millionaires and be able to retire.
Sure.
Wow. Now, did anyone ever call you? Like, the story that we led off this conversation with was a guy in the middle of committing a crime. He was trying to steal metal from a factory. Did anything like that ever happen to you?
Had a guy actually, the buyer of a heroin deal, butt dialed while he was trying to get his fix.
Sweet.
And, he pissed him and caught the guy with a number of already weighed out baggies of heroin and the guy that was buying the heroin, and it was a pretty successful day for them.
Does anybody have any drugs? I'm looking to score some drugs.
They called 911 during a heroin deal.
So in a situation like that, you probably don't say anything to the person. You just use your little GPS and alert the authorities and send the police over, right?
Well, yeah, you know, it's funny because when you're doing it, you know, a butt dial, the second it comes in, you still have to try to find them and do the whole GPS negotiating the hit and everything.
Right.
But you know as soon as you hear it, because it sounds kind of like somebody, like, rubbing a piece of paper against the speaker of the phone.
Yeah, because they're not talking into the phone.
Right. So it's muffled and all
right.
that.
So yeah. As soon as you hear it, you know what it is. But when I heard the people talking in the background, I was like, oh, it's on.
Sweet. Love it. All right.
That's fantastic.
Oops, sorry.
Let's close with Sam. Oh, Sam has decided he didn't want to talk
to
us after all.
No, he didn't. That was a Kevin mistake.
Oh.
That was me hitting the wrong button. So,
his wife heard a drive-by shooting when he butt-dialed her. How about that? That would have been an exciting story to hear.
Yeah, I would have if I hadn't hung up. He butt-dialed her just before the shooting, so she heard the whole thing.
Oh, my God.
She was listening. It was muffled, and then there were shots fired.
Oh, wow.
How crazy is that? I wish I wouldn't have hung up on him.
Yeah, that would have been great. That
would have been a good story.
Don't forget, you're running out of time to win your tickets for Coachella noon today, and then again at 3, and then at 6, and then at 9, and then, well, Coachella's happening this weekend. You also have access to the K-Rock Coachella House, where we have lots of great bands stopping by all weekend long. All the details at K-Rock.com.
No restroom use, though, at the K-Rock House.
Absolutely. Well, you can pee. That's it, though. Let the people, let them pee.
Have you seen the people?
Well, that's true. That's a good point.
At Coachella, I'm going to go with no.
It's always a little bit of a thrill when we get to talk to Iron Mike. Of course, he was the youngest heavyweight champion of the world at age 20, and he has remained fascinating ever since. Man, when we saw that documentary a few years ago called Tyson, it just changed everything I thought I knew about Mike Tyson, and we're going to learn even more about the man on stage this weekend at the Hollywood Theater at the MGM Las Vegas. The show is called Undisputed Truth Live. Mike Tyson on stage and joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Mike, how are you, man?
What's up, Kevin and Bean?
How are you doing? It's always great to talk to you. You getting excited about being so close to the show happening?
Absolutely. This is going to be so fun. I'm just excited, really, to be honest, just to be able to do anything. You know, it's like being able to entertain people. I know I was a boxer and a scary dude back then, but, God, that was then. I want to entertain people. That's just really what I want to do. That's what I like. I guess I really didn't know how to express it.
You entertained me in both Hangover movies, I'll tell you that.
Thank you very much.
Fantastic. Now, tell me what the show is. It's a one-man show, so it must be you talking about your life and stories, right?
Yeah, it's like a dynamic collection of stories that we know about the headline but don't know the underlying stories about it all and stuff, you know.
Is it going to go all the way back to the boxing days?
Very little bit of the boxing days. Isn't that funny?
What are you eating, Mike?
Are you eating? What are you eating right now, Mike? Do we need to take a second so you can eat?
No, listen.
Okay.
Hey, golly, all right?
All right.
We're not going to talk about too many of our boxing. Maybe we should, but the only fighters we're going to talk about, the names I mentioned probably is Holyfield, Mitch Green, and Trevor Burbick.
Okay.
Maybe Spinks, too. But very, very few, a little about boxing, more about my life with Cuss growing up in New York.
Right. All right.
This could be Mike's last interview. He might not make the show.
I love you, guy. You're nuts.
You're the best, but you do seem to be eating a lot. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to gain weight.
That's right. So, Mike, let me ask you this. Whenever you take a long, hard look at yourself, and this just isn't about you. This is about anybody. There are always going to be some sad times, some down times. There are always going to be some regrets. Is that the sort of thing that you also handle on stage, or do you kind of ignore those painful parts and just concentrate on the happy times?
Oh, no. No, you have to experience the painful time to really endure and understand the happy times.
Right.
You know? Because it's just all about me being up there being emotionally naked, and we're just going for it.
Is that, in ways, much more scary than fighting?
Sometimes, you know, because eventually the big test is, like, make sure you don't cry, Mike, all right? If you're talking about cuss or something, make sure you don't cry. And that's just, I'm sure I won't. But I hope.
Dude, I got to tell you, as somebody who would enjoy watching this show, that would not put me off from you. If you were crying about cuss, because that's real emotion.
I don't know. That's just who I am.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's been my whole life with cuss. Cuss didn't believe in showing emotion. That's what, to him, that was a sign of being unable to accomplish a disciplined job.
Oh, I see. All right, well, that makes sense.
The last few times we've talked to you, Mike, including today, I get the impression that you are in a very happy place. You love your wife. You love your family. You seem to be enjoying yourself. You seem to be comfortable with yourself and what the public thinks about you. Is that accurate at all?
Well, I'm working on it. I'm not there. It may appear to be there, but I'm not there yet. But it's just a constant progress and just working on myself and improving myself as a better person. In life, because you're going to be a person longer. I'm going to be a person longer than I was a fighter.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to continue to improve on being a person.
Most people that are fighters or do something as well as you did at some point in your life have trouble living after that. They really do have trouble finding meaning. And
ex-athletes in particular have trouble adjusting after the spotlight. Yeah.
I always had a problem. Cuss always prepared me for this moment. When you retire, you have to find something. He told me that when you're champion of the world, every day is not going to be exciting. You have to have hobbies for when you're bored, things that you do. But I was always prepared for that. When I retired, it was time for me to go. And I always knew I'd be entertaining people. My life in general is just to please people on a, I don't know, on a entertainment level.
So we're talking
That's
about
what I know how to do.
We're talking to Mike Tyson about his new show, Undisputed Truth Live, which is going to be tomorrow, April 13th through the 18th at the Hollywood Theater at the MGM in Las Vegas. Are you going to be singing any musical numbers?
I don't know about that. They're trying to get me to sing some song, but you know I'm horrible. Only the European people and the Asian people and South American people want to hear me sing. No goddamn North American people want to hear this crap.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm a hell of a man in Brazil with my singing, but God.
All right, let me,
America, they're going to throw eggs at me.
Let me suggest a song for the end of your show. You should do I Did It My Way. You should sing that song.
Yeah,
just let it rip.
I could just talk and after that, I'd be singing that song.
That would be great. Hey, look, Jimmy Kimmel always seems to talk you into singing, and that always seems to go over real good with his crowd.
Well, listen, look at his crowd. You know, this is a serious crowd coming to see me.
You're right. His crowd is questionable. I'm with you on that.
All right, we're almost out of time.
He might be related to everybody in the crowd.
That's very possible, yeah. Let me tell you, Kevin, some of the people who are going to be there at opening night to see Iron Mike's one-man show. Evander Holyfield is going to be there, George Foreman, Larry Holmes, Sugar Ray Leonard, Piers Morgan, George Lopez.
Boston Rose, fraternity, stick together, baby.
Yep, yep. There'll be a lot of people. It sounds like you are pumped and ready to go on stage April 13th through the 18th at the Hollywood Theater at MGM Las Vegas. Is there a chance that this will tour, that at some point you'll take it on the road and maybe we get a chance to see you in Southern California, Mike, or is it just going to stay in Las Vegas when you do it?
It's already sold to a couple of countries in Europe.
Fantastic.
That's very convenient for us. Thank you, Mike.
You can get tickets for this at MikeTysonUndisputedTruth.com. And I would suggest that you do that, as Mike is the best. Thank you, Mike, for taking the time to come on the show today.
Hey, man. Take care, guys.
You're the best. Thank you.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye.
It's 7:44 here on a Friday morning. You're listening to the best of Kevin and Bean on the world-famous K-Rock. Ordinarily, I would be doing the showbiz beat here, but because we've got limited time, I thought I'd sneak in a movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Let's take a look at the movies that are going to be in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Some interesting films. Some good. I know for a fact. Some bad. I know for a fact. Let's talk about other ones, shall we? Like People Like Us. This is getting great reviews. Apparently a heartfelt family drama that is not sappy, not sentimental, yet at the same time very touching, very moving. Great cast. Christopher Pine, Elizabeth Banks, Michelle Pfeiffer, Olivia Wilde. Chris Pine, who I think is just turning into a great, great movie actor, he plays a guy who finds out after his father passes away that he has a secret sister that he never knew about from another relationship. And one of his father's requests is to give some money to this sister. So it's about them meeting each other, about them developing a relationship. Elizabeth Banks plays his sister, which is just too bad, because if I was Chris Pine and I met Elizabeth Banks, I would just want to bang her.
Yeah, I wouldn't care.
No. You wouldn't care if she was your sister? Your half-sister?
If she's Elizabeth Banks, don't care.
Here's a scene where Chris Pine is talking about his their father, and he was apparently a big-time music executive. And here he's talking about his newly found sister, Elizabeth Banks. He's telling her the one memory he has, really, of his father.
It's your dad. You don't have one happy memory?
Yeah, one. He used to take me to this park on Sundays.
That's nice.
He never got out of the car. He'd sit and watch me so he could listen to his demos. But, hey, you know, that's how he discovered Kajagoogoo, so he did make a major contribution to the human race.
Kajagoogoo! Yeah, this movie looks great, by all accounts. Interesting pedigree as well, because the writing team of Alex Kurtzman and Robert Orci, who wrote the Star Trek screenplay for J.J. Abrams, and they also created the cult TV show Fringe, one of my favorites. It's a straight drama for them, not science fiction, not adventure. So, interesting stuff, but I think it looks good. I'm going to check this out this weekend for sure. Also opening up this weekend, Magic Mike.
Magic Mike!
Stop it, Omar. My wife can't wait to see this movie, which just makes me sad because it means she's lusting after all these other men and not me. It is directed by Steven Soderbergh, of all people. It doesn't look like a Soderbergh film. Basically, the story of Channing Tatum's early years, inspired by his real life as a stripper before he made it as an actor. Alex Pettyfer also stars in the show. Matthew McConaughey. Olivia Munn. She's getting around these days. Channing Tatum, as I mentioned, Matthew McConaughey. It's basically the story of guys who are strippers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they take their clothes off for women. And it's funny, it's such a Hollywood version of this, because if you see the trailer and you see these guys stripping, you see, look out in the audience, and all the women in the audience are all like hot chicks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not the way it is
in a real
strip club when you see the guys stripping. Here's a scene from the film where Channing Tatum's character, Magic Mike, is telling his newly found love interest what his plans are with his future once he gets out of the stripping game.
So are you in business? Why aren't you?
I will be as soon as the banks start making the competitive rates and loans, and I will. Look, I've been saving for 6 years. I mean, why do you think I'm doing all these stupid businesses with stripping? It's just, I don't know. I've saved about 13 grand. It's going to happen eventually.
Wow, 13. That's a lot of ones.
There's some fives.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 20s?
You don't want to know what I have to do for 20s.
You know what? I don't.
You know what? Let's drink these and I'll show you what I do
for 20s. No, that's okay.
See?
What he does for 20s, you don't even want to know.
Magic Mike!
He shoots ping pong balls out of his butt. That's what he does for 20s, yeah.
I pay that.
Tyler Perry's Madea's Witness Protection opens today.
God.
Screw you! And everyone who keeps going to these movies that allows him to keep making more of them. Look, you had the common decency to stay away in droves when Tyler Perry's Good Deeds came out, when he was a guy named Deeds who learned how to be good. Now Madea's back, but here's the thing. Madea's not going to jail or anything wacky like that, or going to camp like she did with Ernest in that one movie. No, this time she is taking in a white family that needs to be protected in witness protection. See? And they're white, and she is very black, and those two cultures, they're just so foreign to each other. And so she is threatening the kids, and you'll taste the rainbow, because she looks like a big bag of Skittles. It's just jokes make no sense. It's weirdness. But there's the hilarity of Madea, played, of course, by Tyler Perry as a woman in a fat suit, who has a pat-down from the TSA at the airport. And she's never had a pat-down before. So her being touched by this TSA agent just leads to so much hilarity. Please enjoy.
That's really wide. You want me to put both my feet where these yellow feet?
Yes, ma'am.
That's really wide. My legs ain't been open that wide since I had my daughter. Now what?
Put your hands over your head, please.
Like this? Wow, this is really sexual. Remind me back of my stripping days. They used to call me Magnitude.
Can I have you step outside, please?
Gonna do a quick pat down.
I got to do all this to get on the airplane.
Yes, please.
Go on, pat me now. Now wait a minute. You're gonna find a roadmap to heaven. You better come on from up there now. Come on up.
Please, I'm begging you. I'm begging you. No one go see this movie.
Yeah.
Stop giving this man money for this. Stop it. It's not right. I would go as far as say it's evil. It's wrong. We've crossed the line. There's right and there's wrong, and this is wrong. But I'll tell you what's right. Ted opens this weekend. Yay!
Woo!
My buddy Seth MacFarlane, creator Family Guy. This is his first motion picture as a director. He's one of the writers as well. A couple other guys who write Family Guy wrote this along with him, Alex Sulkin and Wesley Wilde. They're just a great... great film, and I'm not saying this just because I'm in it. I'm only in it for a little bit, so I only have that much of a vested interest in it, but I've seen the film a couple times now. It is funny, it's touching, it's rude, it is crude, and it's also got a lot of heart to it, too. It's just a really good film. I think Mark Wahlberg is especially good in it. Mila Kunis is adorable. Giovanni Ribisi is crazy good in it. Seth, of course, is the voice of the teddy bear that comes to life, Ted. Here's the basic story is Mark Wahlberg is a kid who wishes that his teddy bear, his only real friend, would come to life and be a real friend to him. And when he's 8 years old, that wish comes true. Flash forward 30 years, and now they're just two losers who sit on the couch getting stoned all day watching Flash Gordon, their favorite movie. It's a great premise that really pays off. Here's a scene from the film where Ted and John, played by Mark Wahlberg, are getting some beers. And they've got this little game they play where they find somebody's name that ends in ski, and then they try to work brewski into it whenever they get a beer. And Mila Kunis, who plays Mark Wahlberg's girlfriend, tries to play along.
Hey, Johnny, how about a beer, huh?
Ooh, a couple Charles Bukowskis?
A couple Brustoyevskis?
Maybe a Mike Brugaslowski?
Perhaps a Teddy Brewski?
That's a good one.
You know what? I think I, too, want a Martina Nevertobruski.
Oh, no,
that doesn't work.
No, don't ruin it, no.
That totally works.
No.
Yeah, it does. Well,
it doesn't work. The name has to have a ski at the end of it, and you just put Brewski at the end of Martina Navratilova, so.
Well, I just thought we were saying funny names.
No, it has to have a ski at the end of it, otherwise where's a challenge? You know, if there's no ski at the end of the root word, then we would just be idiots saying nonsense.
That's right. Those lines are funny, but even funnier when you see them coming out of the mouth of a stuffed teddy bear. It's a great film. I highly recommend you check it out this weekend. As you can imagine, my pick for the weekend is Ted. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
K-Rock's countdown to Coachella, because without us counting it down every day for you on the radio, you'd probably miss it. You just oversleep. And just
I'm
going to
go buy tickets today. I'm going to go get some. Thank God we're counting it down. I'm going to go buy some tickets.
That.
Thanks
exactly.
for the countdown, because you reminded me that I need to buy my tickets. So
super
great.
Sold out, Ralph.
What?
It's just 15 days away.
Then why are you taunting me with a countdown if I can't buy tickets?
Very annoying, right?
You're
you
an
can
ass.
Listen every weekday at 5, be caller 106.7, and win your tickets for 3-day passes today at 5. Get the details at KRock.com.
That sounds like a promotional gimmick to me.
Let's talk about Janet Rae Jones for just a moment. She is TV's Betty Draper, who was conspicuously absent in episode one of the new Mad Men season this week.
Because she's all prego.
Because she's all married to another dude.
And well, while they're filming it, though, she was very pregnant, so she couldn't be on the set.
I heard she might show up on this week's episode. I'm very excited to see what they do with Betty Draper this season.
They said they will dribble her throughout.
She is in the news because she is a real-life mom, as Ralph mentioned. She was pregnant while they were filming, and now she has a baby. And she did an interview where... Well, let me find the quote. She's talking to People's Magazine, talking about the biggest challenge of being a new mom and still working was exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to work long days and then go home and not sleep. It's getting harder, not easier, so I'm a little concerned.
Yeah.
So she's basically bitching about, you know, her life because she's the only working mom ever.
She had to lose all that weight because she's got to look good on screen.
Exactly. Yeah. Jones' secret to staying high energy through the grueling shooting schedule? I have a great doula who makes sure that I'm eating well with vitamins and teas and with placenta capsulation.
What?
You read that right. Janet Rae Jones is eating her own placenta. Your placenta gets dehydrated and made into vitamins, she explains. It's something I was very hesitant about, but we're the only mammals who don't ingest our own placentas. She has taken the capsules every day since right after she had her son, and also anytime she feels tired or down. She insists it's not witchcrafty or anything. I suggest it to all moms.
Well, this isn't nearly as heinous as I originally thought it was.
No, we thought she fried it up in a pan.
Yeah. she was mixing with chorizo and scrambled eggs and having it for breakfast.
She does have a good point, although I would imagine eating your placenta would be something you would want to do immediately after the birth and have it
when
all.
It's nice and juicy.
Because that's when you would be most depleted of everything. Ooh. And I know organ meats are extremely healthy for you, full of minerals and vitamins, much more than just regular meat of any
and
sort.
And that's why people like to eat kidney and liver mm-hmm. and things like that. Okay, mm-hmm. We should back up one step for the many Kevin and Bean listeners who maybe haven't been through a pregnancy to explain what placenta is. Ralph, you may be the best person for this.
Yeah, you had a baby.
Really?
People may not even know what the word means, though, and I want to make sure they get the full effect of how awesome this is.
The placenta is the nutrient-rich birth sac that surrounds the fetus in utero.
There you go.
So it's
a tasteful way to say it.
Filled with blood vessels, and it's a membrane that carries a lot of nutrients from the mother to the baby, along with, of course, the umbilical cord and everything. But it's a sac that envelops the baby that's full of nutrients and blood and minerals and all kinds of good things, reportedly.
Obviously.
So, generally, most women, the vast majority of women, after they have the baby, they dispose of the placenta as part of cleaning up the kid right after birth.
Right?
They just throw it away.
Discarded for the most part. Now, she's January Jones is right. And in the wild, I mean, when a bitch will have her puppies.
Or cubs or whatever she has.
I think they're puppies. She will clean them off with her mouth and eat the placenta that was surrounding them, largely because they're animals, and that's what they do. They also eat each other.
And poo.
They eat all kinds of effed up things that we don't eat. January.
True. Is January eating her own poop now, too?
I don't know.
Maybe I've seen puppies do that.
Maybe she has it dried and then puts it in capsules and takes poop capsules when she's feeling dehydrated and exhausted.
We want to take some calls from Kevin and Bean listeners on this topic of eating your own placenta. And I think although we've been doing this show a long time, I believe this is the first time we've ever thrown open the phones for this one.
I think Lisa's got a point that it seems like if you're going to dry it out and grind it into a fine powder and put it in capsules and everything, are you really getting the benefits of what
you have
supposedly
a couple of
you're going to get?
A day. It can't be much of anything.
I agree because, you know, so many things you cook, even just cooking them, takes all the vitamins and minerals out of them sometimes.
Right.
So what would the process going the placenta going into capsules, what would that do to it? I think you might be onto something.
I don't know
there.
The science of it, but it seems like if you commit, if you're going to eat your placenta, just eat it raw, just gnaw on it in the delivery room like a hungry wildebeest.
So maybe she's getting a psychosomatic benefit from it because she thinks it's making her feel better, therefore it does. Maybe
perhaps.
That's what's happening here.
Perhaps.
But the number is 1-800-520-1067. If you have eaten your placenta or have a comment on this, I want to hear from you.
If you're eating it now, please call in. We'd like to hear.
I'd like to know what wine you pair it with.
I'd like to know.
Yeah, is that a red or a white? Do you guys know?
I would go with red.
I think it would be red. I think, it's a red meat, I'm thinking.
But let me just...
Unless you have a fishy placenta.
Let me just... Ignore that and then hone in on this aspect of the story. That is, her defense is, she says, hey, again, we're talking about January Jones from Mad Men. She says, hey, all the other animals do it. Why don't we? I think it's a good idea. They should do it. Is it possible? And I don't know. She could just be crazy lady. But is it possible that the only reason humans don't do it is because we have the ick factor and we put a lot of other things in our minds about that? And it is a completely natural and healthy thing to do. And we've just stopped doing it because it seems creepy.
Well, I doubt that it's unhealthy.
Yeah, probably not unhealthy. You're right. But I also think that humans have other sources for nutrients and proteins and things that a nursing mother needs. They have other ways to get that over years and thousands of years of evolution versus wild animals who don't have access to Yoplait yogurt and peanut butter and things that, you know, you
grocery
can grocery store, for example. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have to go out and hunt our own food to get all the nutrients we need because we can take a vitamin. That's a good point.
Yeah, you know, if you deliver a baby, they bring you on a tray a meal afterwards. they probably don't do that to a bear in the woods, so the mama bear needs that immediate boost of nutrition and stuff to keep her cubs healthy.
All right, let's talk to Irme first. She's on line one, joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show at 1-800-520-1067. Irme, you were the first person to call through when we started talking about eating your own placenta. Is this something you have done?
No, I did it for my best friend.
Okay.
You prepared the placenta for your best friend?
I did. When she was giving birth, we told the doctors we wanted to keep it. When the baby was born, I signed for it. I took it home. I steamed it. I sliced it up and I baked it like it was like a dehydration thing. Uh-huh. So I put it in the oven for 200 degrees for like 9 hours.
So you made like placenta jerky?
Yes. And then I ground it up for her. And I didn't want to do the top something because it was really messy. And I didn't want to deal with the cleanup because I already had it in my lungs from all the grinding and all of that.
But how did she eat ground up placenta? How did she get that down?
Smoothie? Oh, no. Did you make a smoothie?
It was really powdery. So she would mix it up with drinks. The bigger chunks, which I couldn't grind. So she tried to eat them like as bacos on a salad, but that was really gross.
Bacos on a salad.
This is bizarre. The way she describes it, it sounds like she was trying to bury a body or something, you know? Couldn't get the big chunks down in the grinder.
They say that it keeps the baby blues away, so that's why she did it.
Oh, really?
But
it helps with depression.
But what about what Lisa asked, which is once you process it so much, especially in your case, Irme, if you cooked it for 9 hours, could there have been any nutrients left in that thing?
Well, there are nutrients in jerky.
Yeah. Well, you dehydrated. Proteins. I just did it for her.
Unbelievable.
You're a placenta chef.
Should write a book.
You are too good a friend, I am telling you.
You're the Gordon Ramsay of placentas.
Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. Amber, you hang on. Jessica, you hang on. Even Matt has a story. We're taking your calls on this at 1-800-520-1067. More on this, because you can't wait to come back and hear the thrilling conclusion to this conversation next. On the Kevin and Bean Show.
Who's hungry?
I'll carry you home tonight.
Fun. That's not going to catch
it
on.
It is. All the kids are doing it.
It's not the same as hey.
All the kids are doing it.
Band is called Fun Period here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Speaking of fun periods, we're talking about eating your placenta, ladies and gentlemen. TV's Mrs. Betty Draper, actress January Jones, said she did it, and it has kind of started a conversation about should you do it. And we're talking to ladies who have at 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Katie here. She's on line three. She has lots of experience with lots of women. You are a midwife. Is that right, Katie?
Yes, I am.
And is this eating a placenta, is this still a thing that contemporary people do? Or if you do, are you pretty much an oddball at this point?
I would say if you're, it's becoming more and more common. I'd say about 80% of the women that I see in our center, I work at the Sanctuary Birth and Family Wellness Center on the west side, about 80% of them either do it or consider doing it or do something similar to placenta encapsulation.
Why so many? I mean, what's your professional opinion as someone who's around birthing a lot? Do you think it does help those women in the weeks after they give birth?
Well, 10 years ago when I had my children, I didn't know anybody who did it. And then I started hearing of women who did it and thought it was really crazy. But now seeing more and more women do it, I'm definitely seeing a drop in postpartum depression. That seems to be the main area that it's affecting.
But is that a psychosomatic byproduct of it, or do you think there's some science behind it?
It could be. But, you know, I work with a lot of acupuncturists and Chinese medical professionals, and, right. and this is something that's, you know, been used for hundreds and hundreds of years in other parts of the world. So
these are those hippies that you hate, Ralph.
Yeah, it's the hippies.
Yeah.
The sanctuary center where you work sounds like it's all waterbeds and brown rice and Hare Krishna to me. That's what
I'm saying. No. Actually, we have quite a few very educated, highly educated professional people.
This is a place where people are giving birth in a bathtub, though, right?
We do some of that, but we also work at, we also do births in hospitals as well.
Your obstetrician's a dolphin. That's what you're telling me at your center.
Katie, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. You know, somebody brought up that, I guess January Jones, the original People magazine article, brought up that animals do it, and we were discussing that a minute ago. Kent writes in, eating the placenta in the wild is simply a way to not show other predators in the area that there are any baby animals around to eat. And that's the reason. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it does kind of make sense.
Makes sense. Don't want to leave any clues behind.
Let's try
those little bear diapers, though, must also give off the signal that there's babies.
Matt is on line two. Let's get a dude's perspective on this, although I suspect you have a crazy wife that you have to tell us about, right, Matt?
She's a big holistic advocate, so I wouldn't say she's crazy, but probably better in that sense, going
hippie.
To old school.
Hippie.
Okay, what's the deal? What's going on?
Well, we had a home birth last May, and then she had her placenta grounded up into pills for herself because we didn't have the baby vaccinated. So in that sense, it would boost her breast milk, pump whatever back into her breast milk to give back to the baby. So I was sick, and we ran out of medicine for me at home. And she's like, oh, babe, just take my placenta pills, and it'll boost your immune system and help you out. I'm like, you got to be BSing me, right? And she's like, no, I'm serious, take it. So I took it, and lo and behold, a couple days later, actually helped me out.
Wait a minute, you had a cold, and a couple days later, your cold was gone? It must have been the placenta pills.
Science.
Get your kid vaccinated. Will you do that for us and you take nothing else away from this conversation? Matt, I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything else after you said that.
No, that's bad stuff.
Oh, get off my phone, hippie.
Seriously, Matt. All right, call us when your kid gets polio then. Thank you very much for the call. Let's take one more. This is Jessica. She's on line 7. She's got another use for placenta that I've actually heard before, but I'm glad you called, Jessica. What's going on?
So I'm at the hospital, and my midwife asked me what do I want to do with my placenta, and I was like, what do people normally do with their placenta? And she said that most people throw them away, but you could either eat it or you could plant a tree with it. So I decided to save it to plant a tree with it. The only thing is that I haven't gotten around to planting the tree yet. So it's in the freezer at my mother-in-law's house right now.
Yum. Can't wait for Easter dinner when she actually pulls that out instead of the brisket.
And she goes, wait, what's this sauce? Let's try this. This looks delicious.
Why do you plant a tree with it? I don't even stand that.
Well, it has nutrients, like plant food, you know, but this will be like a natural way. And then also I thought it would be a good idea, like that would be like my son's, you know, tree with the whole placenta.
But how is it your son's tree if you don't get around to planting until he's like 14?
Well, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
No, sure. We believe you. Yeah, you sound very committed.
You did rush right out to it. All right, thank you for the call. Let's make a pledge right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. No more placenta talk for a while, okay?
We saved Olivia's, and I'm going to ground it up and have my wife snort it later today.
Oh, no.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. Congratulations to Beckett Aguilar from Santa Monica. Just got her tickets in the pit for the 20th annual K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta.
Lucky.
No kidding.
All right. Hey, I'm talking here.
Sorry.
Go ahead. You're yucking it up as if you don't know that you're counting down your final days here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I know we haven't talked about this
much. I'm a little worried.
Well, clearly Kevin is going to jail. Now, he has wanted to keep a lot of this off the air. But I've never seen anyone have more problem responding to jury duty requests. But for whatever reason, Kevin, you've decided that you hate them like you hate Al Roker. And you just burn them the minute they come through the door, right? You don't open them. You just burn them without looking at them, right?
15 years, I just threw them away.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd say they could never prove that I got them.
Right.
Then they started sending them, what do you call it, Bean?
Registered?
Registered, yeah. And then they could tell that I got them. And then so then they finally tracked me down. I finally went to jury duty. But this past time, they sent me my juror ID, my badge, everything, the day I'm supposed to turn up. And one of them was the day you were on vacation, Bean, so I couldn't really go, and so I just blew that one off.
I did offer to come back in and work so that you could go to jury duty. That's how much I want you to go to jury duty.
Right, that happened, but then
you declined.
I declined. So then the last one, I was supposed to go, I don't know, this past week or something, and I told Bean, I was like, I have jury duty tomorrow, and he said, go home today and call them and see what you're supposed to do, and then email me, and I said, absolutely, I will do that. And I went home and went to bed and took a nap, and then I got up and came to work, and he said, what happened? And I said, oh, no.
Just he put his head in his arms.
Completely blew it off. So this is like, I don't know. Literally, they'd send me a juror ID number and, you know, court address and all that kind of stuff maybe 5 times in a row.
Oh, my God.
So if you guys mind if
you're
I call,
asking, why don't they take a hint, right? You don't want to go.
Right. They don't take a hint. And you can't get out of it anymore, by the way. You can't get out of it by saying, oh, hardship or I'm too far away. Or they don't care. They've had it.
Yeah. So what are you supposed to do? Where are you right now in the process?
I don't know, but they do have a juror hotline number that you can call. So if you guys don't mind, I'd like to just squeeze that
absolutely.
In.
I think that'd be great.
You'll forget it.
I really am worried about like what's going to happen, where I go, what I do.
So they have and they told you everything. When you called them last week, it was a recording that basically told you what was going to happen next, right? That's how they give information now. You don't even talk to a real person anymore?
Correct.
Okay.
Hello, and thank you for calling the Los Angeles Superior Court hotline to register for your jury duty upon receiving your summons. This hotline, you may register your jury service, postpone service, request an excuse or transfer to another court, or obtain reporting instructions. Using your touchtone keypad, please enter your 9-digit juror identification number, which is located on your summons in the juror badge area.
Know this by heart.
Wow. We thought you were dead.
What? Good! No, that's good!
I can't believe you actually responded to a jury duty response.
Wait, oh no!
Imagine our surprise to hear from you, Kevin.
Oh!
If you'd like to reschedule your jury duty, press 1 now.
What about 2?
If you're just going to blow us off again, then we should probably just end this now and get it over with, right?
Right! Wait, why is the recording talking to me?
Well, now or go to jail.
It does seem awfully juror-specific, this call.
Oh, really? You're not just going to throw this in the trash?
Come on.
Great. Glad we've got your attention. If you'd like to report to the main courthouse in downtown Los Angeles, press 1 now.
Mm-mm.
If you'd like a municipal...
2.
Will you wait for it?
That's 2. I don't want to go downtown.
If you'd like to go to a municipal courthouse nearer to your home, press 2 now.
There we go.
Really? Really? You think you get to pick where you do your jury duty?
You asked. I'd like to.
Throwing all those summons away after blowing us off, after not phoning in and registering, you think you get to go where you want to go?
You asked.
How about you go to jail, asshole? How about that?
What's
happening? To prison, you asshole.
2 for no.
If you'd like to be a juror on a civil trial, press 1 now. If you'd like to be a juror on a criminal trial, press 2 now.
I don't care. Which is quicker, Bean?
Press a button.
All right.
You don't know. You don't know what kind of case it is.
You know what? Forget it. We don't want you as a juror after all.
That's awesome.
Oh. You douchebag.
Oh, hey.
But thanks for calling Jury Duty Hotline. And remember, jury doodle. Jury duty.
What's jury doodle?
Yes. What are we remembering?
Yes, recording?
Jury duty, right?
Jury duty. Please hold.
Hold on a second.
They're much more professional than this.
And remember, jury duty. It's a civil responsibility, you douchebag.
Okay.
That's it. Hang on.
Monday morning, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 7:15, details on K-Rock's 20th annual Rini Roast E-Fiesta. Monday morning, 7:15, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's the second biggest thing that's happening this year. The biggest thing was 2 nights ago on the Conan O'Brien Show when Ron Burgundy from Channel 4 Action News in San Diego stepped out in his leisure suit and made this announcement to the world.
I want to announce this to everyone here in the Americas, to our friends in Spain, Turkey, and the UK, including England, that as of 0900 Mountain Time, Paramount Pictures and myself, Ronald Joseph Aaron Burgundy, have come to terms on a sequel to Anchorman.
Oh, come on.
come on with the news that we have been waiting years to hear. And Adam McKay joins us on the phone right now. He is the writing and producing partner with Will Ferrell. Hi, Adam. Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, good. How are you guys doing?
Good. Great to have you on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
Great to hear this news. You know, Will has been kind enough to come in on a lot of his projects over the years, and we're almost embarrassed to ask now. Like, when he showed up for Casa de Mi Padre, we didn't even bring up Anchorman because this thing has been talked to death, and it was so a no every time we asked that we kind of given up. What changed?
It was a, honest to God, it was like a last-second Hail Mary before we were going into another project. We just said, hey, call Paramount one more time. Our agents all said, why? It's a complete waste of time. They said, just do it. And sure enough, they were interested this time
really?
Around.
Really? That's so bizarre.
Yeah.
So it was just a long shot. Why not? We have other things, but let's try to work it in.
Yeah, literally, I remember saying, well, it's just a phone call. Like, what does it hurt? Like, just try it.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is something that you and Will and the other guys in the team have wanted to do. It was Paramount that was saying, no, we're not interested.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's people at Paramount who wanted to do it, and then there were the financial people who were saying, you know, it doesn't quite make sense at this, and there was budget issues, and they wanted to, you know, give us a lower budget, and it kept going back and forth.
But then Will did that movie in Spanish, and so that dropped his price.
That was it. I mean, right. when he did the movie in Spanish, they wanted to do a physical, a mental test on him. Yeah, so that really did it.
And, what does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
That did happen. So, Adam, one of the things that we always heard about, and look, we don't know anything about how the movie business works, and let's face it, it is a business, and the companies are in the, you know, they're trying to make money. I get all that. One of the things we always heard is that Anchorman is beloved. It wasn't a mega super smash, and it's not something that automatically translates to foreign territories, and that's a lot of where the head is of movie industries these days, is how much money can I make in Brazil, right? Is that part of what kept this thing from happening sooner?
Wow, that is a very savvy analysis right there. That is. That's exactly it. Yeah. It was entirely about that. And it was the fact that the original movie made, like, you know, $90 million, did very well, made a profit, and it got big on DVD, cable, replay, and that didn't necessarily, that doesn't translate to a printout. You can't
right.
prove that. And with Austin Powers, you know, the first one made $60 million, became, I think that's the number, and became incredibly popular on DVD, cable, replay, and then the second one made a crazy fortune. And you can't really predict that. It's a guess. You know, you're saying, boy, it sure seems like Anchorman got more popular. People are dressing up as the characters for Halloween,
right.
hearing it quoted, you know. But you can't quantify that. It doesn't go into a computer printout. So that was the thing we had to get over. You know, plus in the middle of it all, too, the world economy collapsed.
Sure, there's so. That. There's a little, that I'm sure had something to do with it.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
But we picture Will Ferrell and you, Adam McKay, we picture you sitting in thrones in a room, and the various studios come in and they say, would you mind if we did a second one of Anchorman? And then you go, off with their heads. It doesn't work that way?
It's except for the throne part, it does not work that way.
So, is this something that you guys have had an idea for a sequel that you're dying to write because it sounds so funny it's burning a hole in your pen here, or you're starting from scratch? Greg, okay, now that we've gotten our wish, boy, are we in trouble because now we got to come up with something funny to do.
Oh my God, I'm convinced you have cameras in our office.
Yeah,
we had the idea, you know, of doing it as a musical. We were literally going to do it on Broadway.
Awesome.
And we're setting that up. And then this is a couple years ago, but then they did Book of Mormon. And we all felt like, well, that's been done to a perfect degree.
Right.
So,
yeah. They nailed that. So now what?
They really nailed that. So now we are sitting in the room. But we have ideas. We have pieces of ideas we talked about through the years. And, you know, we're sort of stringing them together. And
are you at the point at all where you're reaching out to any of the other actors or actresses?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, I talked to Dave Koechner yesterday. Paul Rudd just emailed us. Carell
Love
is
it.
Already talking to
really?
Us.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah. Oh, those guys are dying to get back into it. So, and then, you know.
Christine Applegate?
Applegate, just heard from her manager yesterday. I was going to call him today. And, actually, Sacha Baron Cohen, I just worked with, already talked to me about playing one of the guys from the BBC.
Oh, fantastic.
And Judge said Seth Rogen actually contacted him and said, I'll do a cameo as the camera guy again.
That's awesome.
Right, because he was the cameraman of the first one. That's right.
Yeah, he had one line, I think, or two lines in the whole movie, yeah.
Listen, I know that you can't say anything, you can't do anything but agree with me on this, but I am convinced, because of the track record of the last few years, that Will Ferrell is one of the greatest comic actors in the history of the movies. Yes or no?
No.
That's the only answer I would have been happy with, Adam.
All right, now let me ask you a different question. Can you have this movie ready by this afternoon?
Because
that's what I'm going to the movies.
All right. We have a Canon 5D. It's not going to be good. I'm going to tell you right now.
No, give me a guess.
What's this? When do you think it's done?
Yeah. When next summer, next year, next fall?
Well, we're probably going to shoot it, and we're going to write the thing. We're probably going to shoot it in January is my guess, maybe February at the latest.
All right.
So we're looking at, you know, they're kicking around maybe Christmas. I think that's probably the earliest. Maybe you go March at the latest kind of thing.
Well, this is great news.
Yeah. This is fantastic news. Hey, Adam, did you have any idea before this week that Ron Burgundy's middle names were Joseph Aaron?
I think they change every time we write them.
Oh, they do. Okay.
I think so. We were literally just laying around, and first thought just said Joseph Aaron, and next thing I know, he's saying it on Conan. So,
well, this is happy news. In a world where, and I don't know if you heard this news yet, but Ralph was talking about it a few minutes ago on our show. In a world where Triplets, the sequel to Twins, the Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito movie, now adding Eddie Murphy to it, has already been greenlit in Hollywood without a script. It's nice to see projects like this that the people really do want to have made produced.
Oh, I appreciate it. Wait, that's for real? That's
yes,
really happening?
Yes. That sounds like a joke, but Ralph says yes, it is real. It has been greenlit.
That makes me giddy. That makes me feel like there's no laws or rules to life.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito, and Eddie Murphy together again for the first time.
Can we all promise to go together? Get really high and go to that?
Absolutely.
That is amazing.
And hold hands.
It's the deal. Yes. All right. Keep listening to the Kevin DeBean Show for continuous updates on how Anchorman 2 is coming along. And you can follow Mr. Adam McKay and should at Ghost Panther, obviously, on Twitter. Ghost Panther is what he goes by. Adam, you're the best, man. Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Black Keys tickets this hour for you here on the Kevin DeBean Show on K-Rock. All the details on how you can win the van on the front of the El Camino album cover. Available at krock.com. Funny, by the way, that the album is called El Camino. The vehicle on the front of it, the one that we're giving away, is not an El Camino. It's a van. Let's turn our attention to Italy. This is one of the strangest election stories I've ever seen. Lisa may follow this. There's only 507 inhabitants in this little town in Italy, the town of Somalias, which I'm sure I'm not pronouncing correctly. So there's a guy who wants to be the mayor there. His name is Gino Bartolo. He's running for mayor. But if you don't get enough votes, if enough people don't come out to vote, then you don't win. Even if you are unanimously elected, you have to have a certain number of people vote. So this guy says, nobody's going to come out to vote if I'm the only guy on the ballot. I need some competition. So he asks his friend, hey, can I put you on the ballot so that at least I have somebody running against me so that if when I win, it'll be certified and it'll be real and I'll win. Well, you can see where this story is headed. The guy no one ever heard of, who never campaigned 1 minute to be the mayor of this town in Italy, is the one that ended up getting more votes than Gino.
They did not like Gino.
He got 160 votes and Gino got 117.
So Fabio Borsari, a guy who doesn't even live in the town, had no interest in being mayor, basically just did it as a favor to his friend Gino, is now the mayor of the town in Italy. What's that deal? What's that like, do you think?
Well, we have him on the line if you'd like to talk to him.
What? Yeah.
Fabio?
Hey, how you go? How's it going in America? Hey, how you do?
So, Fabio,
How you do?
Well, we're fine. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Mayor. I think I just explained as best I could, but did I leave anything out? I'm right. You didn't want to be the mayor. You just put your name on the ballot as a favor to your friend Gino, right?
That's right. Gino come to me and say, hey, look, I need someone to run against me in the election, so it's official. And I say, hey, no problem. Of course, what am I going to do for a friend? So I put the name on the ballot, and next thing, boom, bada-bing, bada-boom, bada-boom. I met in this town is unbelievable.
But why did so many people vote for you, a candidate that they had never heard of before?
I only can think of one thing. They think I'm the model from the front of the books.
Fabio?
Yes.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
My name's Fabio.
Your name's Fabio? Yeah. His name's Fabio.
His name's Fabio.
But he's a douchebag.
He's a douchebag.
Right.
But he's a good looker.
Yeah.
That's right. He's a good looker.
Right.
He's got the long flow of hair.
Right.
He's
yes,
got
he does.
The big muscles and the push-up and the pectoralis.
Right. Yes. He's
well built. He's got this stomach, which you can see many different packs.
Okay. All right. We got
he's
it.
He's got this.
We understand.
And a swarthy skin.
He's hot. Right. Right. We got you.
He's a very right. romantic okay. figure on a cover of romantic novels.
Right. That's the other Fabio. Right. But we're talking about.
Ladies are like Fabio.
Understood.
I was there many people like Fabio.
Yes, you're correct.
But I think it's my chance to vote for Fabio for mayor.
Okay.
I have to take advantage of this opportunity I have to vote Fabio for mayor. And
right.
next thing you know, it's me, Fabio, a smaller but humble hotel proprietor here in Chimalaya.
Now, how do you look as compared to the Fabio? That
hey,
don't
get
ask
me
any
wrong.
More Fabio
don't
questions.
Don't get me wrong. I'm no Fabio.
All right.
Fabio is a tall fella. He's
right,
like a 6'2".
No,
like
I was asking how you look.
He's got to be pushing the 220, I think, in
right.
terms of weight.
Right.
He is a very built up, like lift a many weights up for a long, long time to get a physique like that.
All right.
And also, he's got a face. He's like a carved marble, like he's a statue.
Right.
That
okay.
you only see when you go to the Colosseum or a place okay. like that. You say, oh, look, Michelangelo has picked up another chisel and hammer and has worked his okay. magic on a piece right. of granite. He's made us a person that's unbelievable. The person that appeals to the women, appeals to
all
the
right.
men,
okay.
the children, and everybody. I love a Fabio.
All right. Let me ask another
I
question.
I gotta go. See you.
What?
I'm
what
out
happened?
Of time. I gotta go do mayor things.
What?
I gotta go cut a ribbon on a new museum here in the town.
Okay. Do you have time to ask?
For Fabio. Okay. I love Fabio.
All right. Never.
That song always makes me hungry for warm, delicious vinyl.
Oh, really?
Yes. Doesn't that sound good? I'm going to have that for lunch today. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:45 on a Friday morning. Thanks for tuning in. The boys are on vacation all week, and we've been doing the best of Kevin and Bean, but brand new live showbiz beats with myself, Ralph Garman, and DJ Omar Khan and Chip. We've been hanging out in the studio, and it's been a fun week. Thanks for tuning in. Before I leave you, I do want to give some tickets away to the 18th annual Hootenanny. This is a great event that happens every year. Down there in Orange County this year, it's July 7th at Oak Canyon Ranch in Irvine. The bands featured this year, Reverend Horton Heat, Bouncing Souls, and Rancid celebrating their 20th anniversary. This is your only chance to see them in Southern California this year, so if you're a Rancid fan, you're going to want to go do Hootenanny. Besides the classic cars and the vendors, it's always great music. If you'd like to attend, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First five callers who get through at that number will get a pair of passes to the 18th annual Hootenanny. So give us a call now. Speaking of tickets, also tomorrow night is Hollywood Babylon, the show I do with my buddy Kevin Smith. We're doing it, as always, up at the John Lovitz Comedy Club there at Universal City Walk tomorrow night at 10 p.m. Smith's been out of town a lot, so this is the first time we're doing it together in about a month. It's been a long time coming, so come check us out. Tomorrow night at 10, you can go to thelovitz.com or babbleonralph.com for more details and to pick up your tickets. Showbiz news. Magic Mike, of course, opens up this weekend.
Magic Mike!
They are working. You're entirely too excited about that show. Yeah, as I mentioned, they're working on a Broadway musical based on the movie already. Mentioned that earlier this week. But what a lot of people don't know is that the film is actually based on Channing Tatum's life as a stripper when he lived in Tampa, Florida, when he was 19 years old. That's what he did for a living. And Channing Tatum said it taught him lessons that he used for the rest of his life. I bet it did.
Yeah.
Zing! It'd be great if you were good and looking enough to just have women throw money at you for taking your clothes
yes,
off.
Yes.
That would be a good time. While we're talking about money, Snoop Dogg got busted in Norway this week with a large amount of cash. Apparently, you can't bring so much money into Norway. Oh, wait a minute. He also had a bunch of weed with him.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah. Sniffer dogs hunted down his luggage. The dog father brought down by dogs. That's irony right there. Norway, apparently, is fairly lenient when it comes to weed and bringing a lot of cash into their country. They just fined him $8,600, and they let him go.
Because it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, he could have got arrested. So.
Yeah, he had a gig last night at a musical festival in the small town of Kristiansand, Norway. And I don't know whether they let him keep his weed or not, but for that kind of money, they should have.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw Russell Brand's new show, Brand X, last night on FX, his new comedy show.
No.
And I say comedy show loosely.
Ooh.
But he's unhappy because there was a new billboard for his show, Brand X, and someone tagged it. Russell Brand was ticked off. Someone tagged it with, "I would rather watch the Katy Perry movie," they wrote on his billboard. Her movie, of course, hits theaters July the 5th. He's got a new TV series, and word is Russell's unhappy with that little piece of graffiti.
Was he unhappy because the tagger was funnier than he was?
I think so. That could very well be. I should have mentioned this after the Snoop Dogg story because it happened at the airport. William Shatner had a bad week. He was at LAX about to leave for a long flight to South Africa where TSA pulled him out of line for a pat-down. Here's the thing. Because it was such a long flight, Shatner says he wore especially loose clothing.
Makes sense.
While he was being patted down, his pants dropped and landed around his ankles. Shatner says it was awful to have people staring at him with his pants falling off his body, as you can imagine.
That's funny.
Set phasers for embarrassing.
Ba-bang.
Alec Baldwin's getting married this weekend. If you are invited, keep your cell phone close. There's no invitation. There's no written information of any kind anywhere for the event. Alec and his fiancée Hilaria are going to text all of his closest friends and family the details the morning of the big event.
Way to make it convenient for all your guests.
It really is. Everyone's just in a suit with their car keys in their hands just waiting to be told where to go. I guess this is their way of keeping the information out of the hands of pesky paparazzi and other journalists. Alec doesn't have the best relationship with those people.
No.
And the problem with having a high-profile Hollywood romance is that everywhere you go, you can be reminded of your ex's former relationships. Blake Lively found that out the hard way. She was in the hometown of her boyfriend, Ryan Reynolds. And the two of them hit up a local florist shop there in Vancouver. And when they got to the counter to buy their flowers, Blake was horrified to see a picture of her now boyfriend, Ryan Reynolds, with his then wife, Scarlett Johansson, behind the counter. Although the owner offered to take it down, Blake was already livid and apparently immediately stormed out of the facility.
She needs to chillax. Come on.
Look, it's there. It happened. Yeah. And it's his hometown. And I'm sure they bought flowers there before. And the guy was probably happy to put the picture up. So,
yeah.
Embarrassing news. We take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Gary Busey is 68 years old today. Oh, Busey.
He's the best.
He's the best. And by the best, of course, we mean craziest.
Yes.
Richard Lewis, the comedian, 65 years old today. Nicole Scherzinger of the Pussycat Dolls. She is 34 years old. Britt McKenzie, half of Flight of the Conchords, a very talented guy in his own right, won an Oscar for his music for the Muppet movie, 36 years old. DJ Shadow is 40. Greg Heston, guitarist for Bad Religion, turns 51 years old today. Actress Maria Conchita Alonso is 55. Colin Hay of Men at Work fame is 59. Don Dokken of Dokken is 59 years old today as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You going to Don Bogart that
Absolutely. Day? I think people would be horribly disappointed if we didn't send everybody on their way to the weekend with a song we all like to sing along to. Happy weekend, everybody. I'll see you next week.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Man, I'm so high.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
What are you, high?
Roll another one. Just like the other one.
The best tonic is chronic.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
It's like beer mug was here for a moment.
No, sorry about
that's
that.
Impressive.
I guess if we're going to feel anything, we should smoke a whole bunch of it really fast.
You got any weed?
Smoke weed.